Well, welcome back to another final hour of Open Lines here. Those are wide open, open lines. So I did a little checking. Apparently, this Devin Patrick Kelly, the accused the killer of those people in near San Antonio in the church, he was discharged, bad conduct discharge in 2014. That's when he got it. He was court-martialed in 2012. On the assault charge of his spouse and their child. And then in 2016, that's when he bought this Ruger rifle that he used in the shooting. 4 years after all this stuff, when he got charged. Doesn't make any sense. How was he able to do that? They're supposed to check that. Your records are supposed to be there when they check that. It doesn't make sense. Anyway, we'll be back in a moment with your calls on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast and Open Lines. George Norrie with you. My theory is that there was somebody at the church that he wanted to take out. And, of course, he took out 26 people. But for this is just too strange. It's too weird. I think he had somebody that he was focused in on at that church, and he went there to get that person for whatever reason, whoever it was. I can't speculate on that. But it just, you don't randomly go into a church like that. And you're not even from that area. There's a bigger picture here. I just suspect, and let's see if I'm right, that there was somebody in the church he wanted to take out, knew the person would go to the church, and he did his dastardly deed, and we'll see what happens. Let's go back to the calls. Let's go to Michael in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Hey, Michael.
Hi, George. George, I want to congratulate you while also cautioning you, or commend you while also cautioning you. To commend you, let's put it this way. Don't be ashamed of your success. That's also a caution. Your success is that you have put America in touch with the reality about psychotropic drugs. Dr. Ann Blake Tracy, the world's foremost expert, when nobody else would have her on. You had her on, and she was telling us that every mass shooting, she is called in as an expert.
Yeah.
And in every one of them, psychotropic drugs were involved, and we shouldn't theorize about motive because these people are walking around in a dream state. They don't know what they are doing, and often they don't even remember when it's all over. That's what the drugs do. And let's not forget Catherine Austin Fitz, who told us in one of her last three visits, I forget, it might be as far back as last December, but she told us that 71% of the commercials that you see on television are underwritten by pharmaceutical companies. So the media, which won't put on Ann Blake Tracy, is sponsoring or is being paid by the pharmaceutical companies that are producing these psychotropic drugs. They don't want the truth to get out. Ann Blake Tracy has documented how even the courts have helped them keep their scam going. So don't be ashamed to bring back Ann Blake Tracy and say to the world, yes, Coast to Coast AM told you so, and we're going daytime so everybody will know what's happening out here.
Well, let me tell you, Michael, we've got the guts to keep going. Don't ever, ever worry about us not having the guts to do it. We'll always do it. Nothing will scare us or back us down, ever. Gypsy's in Portland, Oregon, west of the Rockies. Hello there, Gypsy.
Good morning, George. How are you today?
I'm great. Thank you.
I don't want to make a fool out of myself on huge radio, but I think maybe he was able to purchase a log gun because you can own a rifle in most any state, especially an NRA heavy state, without having to go through a background check. I think
he went through a background check, though.
Huh. Well, that doesn't make a lot of sense.
No, it doesn't. How did he pull this off?
Somebody explain to me how, when the United States owns space and all of the satellites, and we can hit a bullet with a bullet, why we can't just surround North Korea if he gets antsy and knock anything he puts up out of the sky?
I think that's the next step, Gyps. I think that's what they're going to do. They've got ships out there now. They've got troops out there. They've got special planes.
I think it's a whole lot more of a big distraction than it is anything really real and serious about something that's going to harm the United States. I don't know what's out there that's coming, but it's got to be huge, and they don't want us seeing it.
No, that's true. I think the next nuke test that he does, it's going to be it's history for North Korea, my guess.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks, Gyps. Appreciate it. Jody in Seattle, first-time caller. Hello, Jody. Welcome to the program.
Good evening. It's so nice you took my call.
Of course.
I have a question.
Sure.
On the supposition that reality is an artificial construct.
Okay.
I've thought that since I was a little girl. And let me tell you why.
Really? You were ahead of your time.
Well, or confused. I give equal credit to both possibilities there. But when I want to, I can change sometimes just small things, but sometimes large things. And I dearly hope I'm not just a program on somebody's little thing and they're messing with me. For a long time, I thought, and this is going to sound strange, but I thought I might be God playing on a number of theaters. How else do you fill infinity except by watching daytime drama, right?
Yeah.
But I grew out of that, and I don't know. I never heard it put so clearly. So, George, now, and even just the fact you took this call kind of weirds me out.
Why?
I've been listening to you for as long as I can remember, and I've tried to call in, I don't know, half a billion times, and tonight it sailed right through.
Tonight's your
night.
So
now you're part of my construct. I don't know if I'm doing it or someone else or this is all just, you know, crazy stuff.
Maybe it was fate.
Oh, maybe. And can I say one more quick thing?
Sure.
All you need in America to get a gun is money. Period.
Well, I'm not even sure he had money.
Well, he had to have, or he wouldn't have had such a nice rifle. And you can be 12 on a bicycle. You can be so crazy you still got, I don't know, things painted on your face, and nobody cares if you have money. So until you figure out how to do away with money, I think we're just doomed.
Could be. Jody, thanks. They've got the name of the store that he bought the rifle from, and he bought it in 2016. And apparently he filled out the form, did not check off anything about any criminality, which he should have. But still, you're supposed to get caught on that because they use your Social Security number. You go through an FBI check instantly. I bought some handguns. You're there at the gun store, and they do not sign off on the gun until they're off the phone with whoever they're calling on the federal end, and they say you're okay. I've got some friends who have been denied permits because they either had the wrong person or some kind of record of somebody. And, it took a day or two to clear them up. Then they were able to get their handgun. In this particular case, he bought it from a store in 2016, well after his court martial and his bad conduct discharge. And he was able to get it. And I want to know why he was able to. Somebody's got to come up with that answer. Tom's taking texts and tweets. And what do you have back there, Tommy?
We have a text in here from Brian in Wisconsin. If he were alive, George, what do you think President Reagan would do or think about the violence that's happening in this country?
Well, he'd start off by going, well. you know what? He was a Second Amendment guy, too.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be frustrated, as we all are as people and humans, at why there's so much hatred and violence out there. And you can see it on the internet. You ever see some of these websites, these hate websites?
Incredible.
They hate everything. They hate you, Tom. They hate me. They hate everybody. That's all they do. They spend their life hating. Don't they have anything to do?
They must not. You've read the stuff that's out there, even just about this show and us. It's terrible. It's like they sit home and do nothing.
They have nothing other than to hate. And but then they get together with their three other people, and they hate.
The sad thing is, I've seen cartoons on the web made that are like hate cartoons. And if these people would put that, you know, that knowledge and that use to work, they'd be great. I mean, something positive.
They're not positive people.
No.
There's something wrong with them.
It's too bad.
Yep. It's very sad.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got them all over the place. This individual apparently posted his rifle on his Facebook account, which was deleted a couple hours after the shooting today. Facebook takes them down pretty darn fast. They did that with Stephen Paddock, the Las Vegas shooter, too. And they take them down extremely quickly. Next up, we go to Donna in Cleveland, Ohio. Hello, Donna. Welcome to the program. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning. My theory kind of got blown to heck, but I thought perhaps, because I've heard for years that you can go to a gun show and buy a gun and not have a background check. But now, me and my like dearest friend, we were at a store, and he was buying a gun. He's an ex-Marine. And he had to wait. We're in the state of Ohio, and he had to wait a whole day to get his gun.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't pass instantly, you have to wait until they work that stuff out.
Well, no, believe me, he didn't. You know, this guy's flawless.
Yeah. No, but sometimes mistakes are made. There's something on your record that got there wrongly. And they got to get them corrected.
Yeah, so, but I thought maybe he bought it at the gun show, because, I mean, I never believed that, but I heard it. And I guess it's true that you can go to a gun show and buy it without a background check.
I think those days have changed. But in this case, this guy bought it at a gun store, and they gave it to him.
And then also, what happens if, say, I'm going to buy a gun from, let's say I'm a felon, and I'm going to buy a gun from you, George Murray. You're going to sell me a gun. How do you do a background check?
You have to go through some kind of rigorous, I think you have to do it. Don't you have to do it through a gun dealership or something like that? I don't know.
I just thought it was something it was like anything else you saw.
Yeah. I'm going to try to get John Lott on tomorrow, the expert on guns, to see how this guy got his and what some of the rules and regulations are. Let's go next to Sean, driving outside of Portland, Oregon. Hey, Sean, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, George, I got to tell you, man, that this is a true honor. I'm almost 50, actually, today's my birthday.
Whoa, happy birthday.
Thank you. It's quite a gift. I've been listening to you, actually, Art, since I was a kid. I would drive with my dad down to Southern California.
Oh, my gosh, it's, long time.
As soon as we get up on top of the Sierra Nevada, it's like I hear Art broadcasting out of I loved listening to him. It was the only thing on late at night that keeps me up. Yeah, so to talk to you now is a real treat. I've never tried to call before, and I'm really pleased to get through.
I'm glad you got in. What's on your mind right now?
So I've got some military background. I'm also a criminal justice major at the University of South Dakota.
Okay.
So with a misdemeanor, it's usually jail up to a year, and then like a $5,000 fine. I'll be wrong on that, but it's pretty close. Then a felony will be a more than a year, like a year and a day is a felony.
This was a felony, I'm told, on him.
But what I'm saying is, because it was under the UCMJ, the Military Code of Justice,
right,
and because it was handled internally, it may not have been a felony. It may have been a gross misdemeanor, and that left him open to purchase a firearm.
Well, they keep saying on some of the stories about him that it was indeed a felony.
Then the other thing that's an issue is the communication between the different agencies that make that registration happen.
Right.
Like,
say,
in the federal system or in the state system, they communicate really openly with the ATF, and they have up-to-date information on who's convicted of a felony. Usually somebody's convicted of a felony, and they ask them if they have guns in their home, and the sheriff will literally go to their home with them
and check it out.
Possession of those guns.
Yeah. No, you're right about that. And this one happened in 2016 when he bought it. And clearly, the regulations with the feds was in order. There's no way they should have slipped by this thing.
I completely agree with you. But really, you know, I think that we're focusing on the wrong thing. We keep reacting to the instant offense. What drove him to commit that offense, George?
That is the $64,000 question. What would cause a guy who has a wife and a little child to pick up, get a gun, and plan this, and go and kill 26 people and then wound 20 others? I think, my guess, Sean, there was somebody in that church he wanted, and he just kept shooting.
That may be correct. No. I couldn't answer that question.
No.
George, not in my mind to even concede to him something.
Yeah, we shall see that. Thank you for calling, but... Maybe they'll get a motive that way. You know, the same with this whack job from Las Vegas. Maybe there was one person down there he hated, and he figured he's going to shoot everybody. You don't know. You just don't know, you know, what was going on, what goes through the minds of somebody like that. You know, one day I may open up the phone lines for people who have contemplated killing. Seriously contemplated doing something to somebody. And share that with us. Or maybe you have, and you just haven't been caught. Might want to check in on the show. Maybe in the next 30 minutes we've got, you might want to check in. Courtney in Decatur, Tennessee is with us now. Hello, Courtney. Good morning to you.
Hello, am I on?
Yes, you are.
Okay, yeah. No, I just want to say I agree with you. I think that the guy that did that in Texas, yeah, I think that he probably had a personal agenda with somebody in that
there.
Church.
Absolutely.
Somebody up.
I'm thinking that, too, because he's not from that area. You just don't stumble into a church like that. I think he knew of somebody. There was somebody who crossed him. Something happened, and that set him off.
No, I completely agree, but that's actually not why I called.
Okay.
I have two separate things. Ever since I was about 12 years old, I've been having this sleep paralysis, and I have experienced what you call the old hag syndrome.
Yep, you're getting it on both sides like that.
And I'll take my answers off the air. I just wanted your opinion. What do you think she is, and why do you think that different people across centuries and different cultures experience her? And my other question was about the turmeric or turmeric or whatever you want to call it.
Turmeric.
Have you ever had people say that they have different or more vivid dreams when they take it? Because I take turmeric, and so does my dad, and we both have very vivid,
I've not heard. Do you take melatonin at all?
All right,
melatonin would really cause you to have some strange dreams, to be sure. But no, I haven't heard anybody talk about strange dreams with turmeric. The next time I talk with Christian Wild about, maybe he can set up a little study on his website for that. We'll be back in a moment. And welcome back to our final segment here on Coast to Coast. George Norrie with you. We've got a great week of programs for you. And I hope by now you all turned your clocks back 1 hour if you participate in the end of daylight saving time. Not every state does. Hawaii doesn't. Arizona doesn't. There's a few others. But those of you who do, turn your clock. Probably figuring, why am I off by an hour today? That's why. Tom in the Bronx, welcome to the show, Thomas.
Yes, hi, George.
Hey, Tom.
I'd like to say this. On Puerto Rico, I'd like to say what isn't happening. In other words, to me, that would be a total military situation to get equipment and needed supplies into Puerto Rico.
Yep.
And what they should do really is to section it off and to bring aid to each section of Puerto Rico as they go along until they get to the mountains and they do likewise. This thing of having volunteer situations is good, but it could be better done by the Army in this case. They could get in there, and maybe they do have helicopters flying stuff into the interior, but it can be done. It can be done much better with the Army, coordinated in sections. I know the British Army did this in the Pacific one time.
Well, they need help, but you know, a lot of places are still without power there and everything else. And I think the president pledged to pay for 90% of it.
Well, it's not the point of paying for it. It's the point of getting immediate assistance. And the at least what they can do is to section it off and get the needed equipment and goods into each area as they go along. In other words, they start with San Juan and they go to another section. In other words, until they make it more cohesive. That would be a better approach to me.
How much are they doing now, do you know?
It's volunteerism, as far as I've heard on the radio. They said volunteer and people are miserable and on WBAI radio, Gary Noel, who's big, he has his own radio network
mm-hmm.
out where you are, out in California. He has it in New York, I suppose.
He's based out of
there.
Yeah.
It's Radio Progressive Network on the internet. I don't have any computer. But he's on WBAI Radio 99.5 FM 2 on noontime, New York time. But anyway, I'd like to say that's what they really should be doing with the Army Corps of Engineers, which you're more familiar with,
mm-hmm.
you know, all the military situations. But that's what they really should be.
Well, they got to do something about Puerto Rico. I mean, it's devastation, and I think people are dying more than they're saying. I talked to some people from Florida yesterday after the hurricane swept through there that there are bodies still floating in the Keys, and they don't want to tell people because they don't want to scare tourism away. So you might be there, and you'll just see a body float in. Ugh, horrible. Ed in Tulsa, Oklahoma, welcome to the program, Eddie.
Yeah, George, thanks for taking my call.
Sure,
you know, I just found out about this shooting this evening because I've basically had Twilight Zone episodes going all day.
All right.
And I've got a theory on these shootings. Now, think about this. You've had guests on your show talking about the MK Ultra mind control program.
Right.
It's been going on since the 1960s. Now, if you'll think back over these shootings that have taken place over the course of the last 7 years, it all started basically during the Obama administration, and it's continuing now. Now, there's several of the shooters, one in Florida several years ago. Now, I'm not talking about the one where they went in and shot up that nightclub,
right?
This guy had been in the Navy, and he said he was under mind control. He wrote a note, leaving a note behind saying he was under mind control, and he even initialed it on the butt of his gun, and apparently he was hearing voices. Now, that was one of the guys that did a shooting. Now, I don't know what happened to him. I don't know if he killed himself or what. I think he did. Now, the guy in the theater that done the shooting several years ago, same situation. He said he was hearing voices in his head. And now, Mr. Paddock in Nevada, there's something real suspicious about that, George. I mean, think about it. There was all the people that's been interviewed that was at the concert said there was more than one shooter involved in that ordeal. And the thing about it is mainstream media has not interviewed any of the people that were actually at the concert. Now, I've been listening to talk shows, radio shows, nonstop, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a couple other shows where they really went into depth on that shooting in Nevada. And they even played the different sound bites of the different types of gunfire, you know, like a belt-fed machine gun.
Right, right.
As opposed to a butt stock, I think that's what they call it, you know. And it sounded like a belt-fed machine gun to me. But the reports that were coming from people that were at the concert said they were ground level. And that Paddock, more or less, might have been a gun runner, and he was there to do a gun deal. And ISIS, there's a real possibility that ISIS was the operative to buy the guns, and they shot him and killed him, and they went ahead and did a mass shooting while he was there. Now, that's just a theory. But moving forward to this shooting that just took place today. Now, think about this. All these shootings, isn't it strange how all of these shootings all of a sudden are coming about? What's to say, and all of them obviously have psychiatric problems, every one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? As you know, a good portion of the population in this country is on psychotropic drugs.
That's right.
Now, people, MKUltra mind control, now you had a gentleman on your program that explained that people they target to use this mind control on are people that are on psychotropic drugs. And a lot of times they're ex-military.
Yep.
Okay? Now, this is just a theory. But, I mean, it's just too strange that these shootings keep happening over and over. Now, there was a gentleman on Coast to Coast last night. He works for the Pentagon or in the Pentagon. I forget what his name was. He was talking about the deep state, the movement to put together this global world order.
That was Bob McGinnis.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Excellent show. And he's a Christian man. I could tell that, right? And he more or less said that this deep state movement, they're willing to do anything at their disposal to bring about this global world order. Okay, now, if MKUltra is being used, it obviously would be used by people in the deep state movement to put together this global world order.
I cannot rule out the possibilities that some kind of mind control influence is behind some of these strange, whacked out shows, because what we're not getting, and we're not getting it from their relatives or their loved ones.
Right.
We're not getting things that say, I knew he was going to do something stupid. I called the police 3 weeks ago. We're not hearing that.
No.
These guys just seem to pop up, do these heinous things. They get killed. They're always dead, like Oswald. He's dead.
Like Oswald.
So, I mean, you can't rule that out. You're right.
Dead men tell no tales.
That's right. Thanks, Ed. Appreciate it. Final text or tweet from you, Tom. What do you have for us back there?
This is in from Magdalena in Washington State. My friend was telling me about a place called Skinwalker Ranch. Can you please talk a little bit about it?
Skinwalker Ranch, and the person to really talk about is George Knapp, because he wrote a book about that
with Colm
Kelleher. And I think if we have a live event in Las Vegas next year, George is going to be one of our guests.
We're hoping.
And we'll talk about that. We'll see. We'll find out what happens. But it's a strange, strange rant of people doing what walk-ins are, different spirits that are coming in and out of that place. I have not seen it, but George is the guy to be talking to the next time he's on. Call in about that.
Okay. Absolutely.
All right. Next up, let's take a few more calls here. Mitchell's in San Jose, California. Hello, Mitch. Go ahead.
Thank you very much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Say, it's not just this one shooting. Let's face it, we're having like one a week. And it's always a group of people, bunches of people, as if people themselves were what was wrong with the world. Two of them were church shootings, catching people at their most hypocritical, pretending to be so holy, holy, when they're really a nation wrapped up in a terrible, terrible, cowardly cover-up. We do not want to deal with it. I'm talking about John Lennon's murder.
Well, the John Lennon murder is not the reason for that at all. Let's go to Bob in Charleston, Indiana, east of the Rockies. Go ahead, Bobby.
Hi, Mr. Norrie.
Hello there.
Sir?
You too.
You asked last week about wanting to know somebody that knew Francis Sinatra.
Yes.
There was a series of roasts on. I know you saw all the commercials, you know, 3 decades ago, maybe. Dean Martin.
The Dean Martin roasts, sure.
You know, all of them. There was a gentleman, the only one that I didn't recognize, but he was on all of them, and he's a JFK researcher. Now, I assume he's still alive. I've become vision impaired in the last 3 years, but 3 years ago I watched two or three of his interviews on YouTube about the JFK shooting. So if you're wanting that was to talk about JFK, you know, this is a perfect guy. I just can't remember his name, but I'm sure, you know, Alexa or something.
Could it be Seymour?
His name is contact. I believe he lives in Los Angeles.
Could it be Seymour Hersh?
I don't think that's it.
It's not him. Okay.
I don't think so. But he was on all the roasts, and he was like the one guy that I didn't know, you know, because I didn't watch. I worked second shift 26 years, so I didn't watch a lot of that TV that, you know, but I was known to everybody. But he's bound to be, if you, you know, look up JFK researchers that knew Frank Sinatra, you know, something ought to pop up. And he, as far as I know, he's still alive.
All right, so, we'll try to look him up.
And I'd love to have you get Doug Horne one more time.
Okay, you got
that book with the autopsy, you know, results is just, it blows everything else out of the water. They've been telling us for 60 years.
I know they've not been telling us the truth, that's for sure. Bob, thanks. Tyler's in Yuma, Arizona, first-time caller. Hi, Tyler.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'm a big fan of the show. Have been for quite some time now.
Thank you.
I just wanted to share, I'm down here in like the real southeast or southwestern tip of Arizona down in Yuma, and I don't know if you ever remember hearing about that 2011 Southwest blackout that happened.
Sure did. Yep.
That actually, the origin of that was here in my town at a substation right outside of our Foothills area.
Was that caused by the shooting at the substation? Were there people shot at it?
No, actually, I think that was a rumor. I'm not sure about that detail, but I can tell you that I have a firsthand account from one of my best friends in high school. His dad was a 30-year veteran out at the power company in my town, and he was the first guy on the scene that they sent out there because he lives like right by that substation, and so he was the first guy out there. And I guess what had happened was is there was an APS worker, which is the Arizona Power, the company out here. He was working on the substation, and he like didn't complete the steps to like shut the power off to the partial station so he could like work on it safely. And he basically threw like a wrong switch and like offloaded like I don't know how many, you know, wattages of power, but it basically just sent a surge up the line. And I just the reason I brought it up is because you know, just the whole thing about the power grid. And I feel like this is like a micro example
of what could happen.
Fragile,
yeah.
Of how fragile it is. Like, because, I mean, as you know, like from what I heard is that surge was supposed to be stopped at the next substation because there's supposed to be fail safes like along the line, you know?
And that's not happening. I mean, they all go down.
Exactly. And it killed like what? Like over 2 million people in Mexico and California all got, dropped with power.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't get killed, but their power went out to a couple million people. That is only the tip of the iceberg. That's one of the things we've been talking about for so many years. Protect the power grid. Get it fixed. So important. Don's in Salem, Oregon, west of the Rockies. Don, let's get you in here.
Hi, George. I was wondering if you got a chance to devote an entire show to let veterans explain exactly what goes on with the Veterans Administration. It's taken me 3 years of working on and off. The last year, I finally had to get a state senator involved to let me see a local dentist.
No.
And I'm 100% totally and permanently service-connected disabled. Jeez. What they wanted to do is they sent me their dentist down in Salem. They wanted to take all my teeth out and put dentures in with no connecting teeth. My dentist that I had said, no, I can fix them all. They came up with a solution to do a middle ground. But another caveat to this, that shooting, if that guy is dishonorably discharged and they tried to get information from the Veterans Administration, the Veterans Administration is still working on the DOS system, which is 30 years old. I'm trying to get my records. I've been waiting over a year and a half to get my records.
Jeez, that's crazy. So he was still court-martialed. It was called a bad conduct discharge, which is a little easier than just a dishonorable discharge. And I had mentioned that earlier, too. But it was a bad conduct discharge, which is still bad because it's through the court-martial system. But he got a year in prison for his assault charges against his wife. We'll get more information on that throughout the week, I am sure. My guess is, though, there was somebody at that church that he wanted to take out, and he took out 26 people just to do that. We'll find out. For Nathan Staten, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.